Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is the night that we do the Eye on Illini share of the Big Ten Championship edition. The Illini won today over Iowa in a nail biter that went down to the very end. And they needed some help from the Nebraska Cornhuskers to make this happen. And as all of us have been diehard Cornhusker fans since Tuesday night, when Purdue lost to Wisconsin, we found out that indeed the Cornhuskers were worth our love. They came out with an amazing 1-point victory, 74-73, over Wisconsin, and they withstood probably the worst refed 4 minutes of time that I've ever seen in a game, when they had 9 fouls called on them, including a flagrant 2, including a technical foul for looking at a referee. It was an amazing amount of damage that Nebraska took, yet behind Alonzo Verge, they kept fighting, and they ended up winning. Real tribute there to Fred Hoiberg. And, of course, that set up the Illini for the game tonight against the Hawkeyes. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and right now I have on Kedrick Prince, the Illini guy's director of recruiting. Kedrick, you just saw one heck of a game in an amazingly loud State Farm Center. You got to see the nets get cut down. What was the thing that jumped out at you first? And let's kind of start at the end instead of the beginning. What was it like to watch those nets come down?
You know what, Mike? First, thanks for having me. I'll tell you what was really unique. The press row was full, and you could hear everything. And at one point in time, everybody who covers Illinois, and I'm going to say everybody, I think we weren't tweeting as much. We were so into the game because Illinois, everybody knew what was at stake. You know, it's been since 2005, since they won a Big Ten title. And every play, we're sitting here and, you know, we would question things with each other. And I would say this, another guy would say that, and we disagree on this. And Brash had pulled this person out. It was really unique because I've not seen that in a press row forever. And we're always supposed to sit with our mouths quiet and sit on our hands. But you could see people sweating and people, you know, chewing on their straws. It was great. And I tell you what, I cannot believe. I mean, I almost had a heart attack how fast those kids got on the court when it was over. I mean, it was awesome. The environment, I mean, I thought, me personally, the Arizona and Purdue game was loud. That State Farm Center was just rocking tonight. It was loud. The fans were in it. They were screaming, cheering them on. Like, it was just, it's great. This is what college basketball is about. I hope that stinking COVID die and go away and never come back. College athletics is just, it's where it's at. And if you're an Illinois basketball fan, you deserve this. You have gone through hell, through bad coaching and bad years. And you talked to people and know that you knew the team was bad, but you were still pulling and hoping that they would be good tonight. You know, you got your due.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing is if you go back 17 years ago, and, of course, you and I were, you know, much younger, 37-year-old men, and we had just watched the Illini win a title, and we're thinking this is going to be the way it is every year. You know, we got a coach, we got D. Brown, we've got all these things going on. We never thought it would be another 17 years. How do you feel about where the team is now, Ked, when you've got Coach Underwood running this program along with the staff that he's put together?
Well, first of all, it's unique, and I want to give credit to Orlando Antigua and Chen Coleman because they kind of helped started this trend and brought some of those kids in, and Coach Underwood has done a great job replacing those guys. Having Kofi is just – this is why I say – he's a Big Ten Player of the Year, Mike. Every time he went off the floor, Iowa made a run. And maybe these guys aren't saying anything, or maybe they're homers and they don't want to say that about Kofi, because the game changes when he comes off. Having him on that court is huge. From a talent standpoint, we can talk about this later, all the recruits that are there, kids that are coming in from Georgia, from everywhere, that are interested in the program. We had two guys from Iowa, had Iowa ties. One guy is an Iowa high school student, was a visitor for Illinois tonight. You know, his name is Brandon, Caden Wilkins. You had another guy who was from Georgia, whose grandparents are Iowa fans. J.R. Koch played at Iowa, and his son Cooper was there tonight. But these kids are all interested in Illinois. So to answer your question, it's just a great, great environment right now, and recruiting is only going to get better. I mean, they had some studs there tonight, and Moraes Johnson just flat out said to us, my job is to get other kids to come with us, and this isn't over.
That's great to hear. So, folks, we also have an addition here. Illini guy Brad Sturdy has just joined onto the call. And we also have Illini guy's staff writer, Matt Stevens. We just got fired up here, Brad and Matt, but we were just talking about some of the feelings of what it was like. We're starting at the end and going backwards, but what was it like to watch those nets get cut down and being around those players after it was done? Brad, what were your thoughts? You covered the last time that the Illini won a Big Ten regular season title in 2004-2005. Do you have any comparisons that you can give us, Brad?
It was a little easier in 2004-2005, Mike.
Yeah.
Just a shade. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Kent Brown after the press conference as we were walking out about, you know, I think there are only like, you know, obviously Lauren Tate, but, Jim Mattson, and there's a few other guys. But, I mean, it was like there's only four or five people Ked would have been around then who were involved back in during that time period and doing this. So, it's really interesting to see you go through this 17-year, like we'll call it a adaptive pause. Isn't that what we call it now? Adapted pause from winning Big Ten titles. And it was pretty exciting. I thought it was great for the guys. You see where they've come from. And, you know, the first year of Underwood to the last to this year, and the Trent Frazier, how he's grown, DeMonte Williams, you know, those guys getting to go out on their second senior night and get the Big Ten title. It was great. I mean, it's really it's exciting to play games in March that matter. And this is – now 2 years in a row where Illinois matters on the national scene and the national basketball scene. And, you know, you're one seed in the Big Ten tournament. You got a Big Ten title. You got a banner now. And it's pretty pretty cool to keep hanging banners.
Matt, you're right there as well. Obviously, you're not as old as Brad, but, that is what it is. What did you think? Their first time to be here when this type of win happens.
I'm currently watching Josh Whitman right now just kind of stare out at the State Farm Center floor, which is covered in confetti right now. And I'm reminded of the press conference that he led when he fired John Gross. And basically he said, you know, we haven't had a Big Ten championship in quite a while, in 10 years. And if I don't do something now, it'll be 20 and it'll be 30 and people will forget what this feels like. And I think I'm watching him right now just kind of stare out at the floor after everything that has happened. And I think he realizes that everything that he was planning about rebuilding and putting this program back brick by brick, day by day has now happened, because this is the most, in my personal opinion, I think this is the crown jewel of what you can do short of winning a national title. Because it is a 3-month journey, 4-month journey to win a 20-game regular season Big Ten championship. And in order to put that banner up, you didn't win 4 games in a row in the Big Ten tournament or something like that. You didn't have a good week. You had a good year. And there are a lot of people who don't know what this feels like. There are students that were on this floor right now that was just a humanity of people that didn't know what this felt like. And there are players that didn't know what this felt like, short of like what they did last year when they won the Big Ten tournament. But everything is coming back together the way that Illinois basketball was when I was a kid, and what the expectations were with Illinois basketball when I was a kid. And I came to the arena today after Nebraska won, and I looked up and I'm like, I wonder when the last time Illinois won a Big Ten title in the last weekend at home. And I wasn't alive. I'm 37 years old, and it was March of 84. I was born in August of 84. Like, I have not been alive to witness this. You know, a game at home in the last weekend where they clinch at least a share of the Big Ten title. And this is special. Brad Underwood's not lying when he says that there are freshmen and sophomores and undergrad college students who are on this floor not an hour ago that are going to remember where they were on the night of March 6, 2022. So that all of that is significant to how you get a program back to where Brad Underwood and everybody, Josh Whitman, want this program to be and think that it's going.
Yep. And that's, I'll tell you, it's an amazing feeling. I'll tell you, Illini fans out there listening to this, every game that you see Trent Frazier, Damonte Williams, you got to appreciate it because they came up big tonight when it counted, and they're only going to be here for a brief amount of time. And then they're in the history books. And trust me, as somebody who can remember, you know, Eddie Johnson, that gets further and further back, and you really miss these guys. Brad, I was watching the game, and, of course, I'm covering it from, watching it on television, not there at the State Farm Center. To me, the biggest thing that I saw that was really – it was very apparent was that for some reason, a team that shoots 78% – you know, free throws, came up at 45% from the free throw line. And the only thing I could think of, Brad, is a slogan, free throws matter. What were you guys thinking when you're watching that? How loud was it in there when the Murray brothers, who are two class acts, they miss free throws, but they're great players. They're class acts. Could happen to any of us. But how loud was it in there, Brad? And what were you thinking?
Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, it was really loud. I think what happened, though, it's the typical thing, man. If you step up and you miss that first one,
yeah.
Now there's a little more pressure on the second one. And then there's even more pressure on the third one. So it really tightens up, and it became tough for them to do that. And that's just part of it. You know what I mean? And it happens in college basketball. Guys miss free throws. One of the best free throw shooters in Illinois basketball history – and you remember this, Mike, maybe some guys don't, was Kawan Garris. And we saw
him. Yep, I'm sorry. Yep.
And so we saw him do that in a bragging rights game. And that's, you know, it's part of basketball. But, you know, you learn from a grouper. Kawan said, I'm never going to do it again. And I don't think he did. So that's where you know, maybe you don't want to play Iowa next week because they probably won't miss him again. But maybe yeah. Illinois will play a little better in the first half so they don't end up in that situation.
Yeah, no, that's a fair comment. I was thinking Nick Anderson was where you might be going, Brad, you know, but that was in his NBA days, but woof, that was a rough free throw time. Ked, when in the second half, you saw that Iowa went from shooting over 50% in the first half from the field down to 34%. What was Illinois doing different on defense that caused that?
Well, I think the substitution was one. It was really funny. I was telling you before the air, Matt and I were arguing sitting right next to each other. Take this player out. Put that player back in. This player turns the ball over. This player plays better defense. I think they just made some better adjustments. I think they did some things differently with matchups, which is what coaches are supposed to do. I really wish tonight the fans could have seen what Matt and I and Brad saw. Coach Underwood was coaching, and I with passion, Jeff Alexander and Chester and Tim. I mean, they must have told Jeff to sit down 4,000 times, or I'm going to tee you up, and then he'd walk away and he'd get right back up. They really, really wanted this. And the scouting report, I think, if I can remember right from what I was looking at and hearing, I think Tim may have had most of it because he was shouting out some of the plays. But I think they just made adjustments, and that's what's good. I one time Illinois was either first in the Big Ten or one of the top in the country scoring out of bounds possessions, and then also the second half scoring as far as making adjustments. That's coaching. And I want to say this. Matt is right. I remember Josh Whitman's press conference. You know, he talked to us about the champions here, and he's right. People who are young, and maybe not realize how passionate Illinois basketball was. No, they didn't win a lot of Big Ten championships, but they were in the hunt. They were competing. You know, Selection Sunday, everybody who's an Illinois fan know Illinois is going to be – you're going to see their name. You know, you don't have to sit and sweat bullets or worry about, well, let's start recruiting for next year. So, you know, kudos to all those guys. They worked hard. They, you know, the staff is on point right now. I'm happy for them because I know what it was like. Brad and I both know, Sturdy and I both know what it was like from a recruiting standpoint to try to get kids to come to leave to school there or not even lie to the coaches. Now you got kids who want to be there. And this is a great place. And they're in a good situation now to get kids that want to be there. I know this was primetime game. Everybody saw this tonight.
Yep, that's a good point. Matt, did you see a difference in intensity on the defensive end of the court in the second half from the Illini?
Yeah, Damonte Williams was on the floor. And I'm sorry, but like when he goes out with two early fouls, and there was a point where Iowa got 10 of its last 11 field goals in the first half. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, Ked and I sit next to each other on these games, and we were arguing, and I'm like, I would look at Ked and I'd go, you know, they might want to get a stop sometime tonight. That might help. Like, and I sat there and I was like, this isn't like, there were a couple where like, yeah, that's a tough two contested that if it goes in, great. That's what we want you to take. But they got a lot of really good looks in the lane that didn't need to happen. And the defense was just breaking down the minute that Damonte checked out with two fouls, in my opinion. And I think that everything kind of settled when he was able to come back on the floor, settle everybody down, understand what Illinois wants to do defensively. And then you get like Coleman Hawkins running the floor like he should. And you think about running the floor, usually it means like trying to get an easy bucket on offense. Run the floor so Keegan Murray can't get a dunk on the other end. And you do that, and then you get a couple stops, and you're able to put Trent on somebody that can, you know, break, not get broken down so much by the dribble drive. And I again, people get really, really irritated with me, and our subscribers get really irritated with me because I preach defense and rebounding. It's amazing what happens, guys, when you get stops and you clear the glass. And I thought there was a stretch where Illinois just did that, and then they were able to kind of figure out stuff on offense because – they were just able to get stops. And quite frankly, Mike, the big statistic for me, and I didn't even realize it, was I still look back and I look at the fact that Illinois didn't have a bucket for the last 3:43 and they won this game. Did not make a field goal in the last 3 minutes and 43 seconds and won this basketball game. So against a team that likes to score in the 80s and 90s. So the fact that I think Illinois kind of, you know, we're able to figure out a way to just kind of not maybe get one stop. And then if we can get one, then maybe we can get two. And then it just gets a lot easier as the momentum starts to bury Iowa under itself. So
yeah,
there was a fifth year senior who checked out with two early fouls, because that's what Brad Underwood does when you get two early fouls, and the defense went to hell. And then when they came back in the second half and he was able to settle everybody down, that's when you started seeing this thing, the tide turn.
Yeah. And it was very interesting, Brad. I was going to ask you, where did Coleman Hawkins, like, we have a new Coleman Hawkins here, because the man was all over the court, you know, 11 rebounds, had a couple block shots, even had a couple of assists, you know, shot 3 for 5, you know, just hit both of his free throws. What is the difference between him? Because he really seems to be coming on here at the end of the year. And just playing his best ball.
Well, he's playing with energy. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, he brings energy. He brings he's worrying less about all the stuff. I mean, there was one play where, and I said this, I watched it happen, and this was typical. This is where he is. He got stuck on a screen, and it really wasn't his fault. It was actually his own guy that screened him. Murray gets a wide open three and misses it. Coleman puts his hands on his head, and instead of going to get the rebound, because he's like, it was a bad play, but he missed it. So then he went and got the rebound. In the past, he would have just put his hands on his head. They would have got the rebound and then went back and scored. So he's growing as a player. I mean, and that's normal for a kid that's a sophomore. You know, in talking about, you know, you guys talk about the adjustments at halftime. the biggest adjustment, and this is what I already wrote in my started my three takeaways. One of them is lost in transition, because in the first half, I was able to get out and run, and they got a bunch of mismatches in transition because Illinois didn't stop the ball. Underwood mentioned it in the post game too, when I asked him about it. And that was the biggest issue is, in the first half, they were getting down the floor and they're getting out in transition, getting mismatches, guards on bigs, bigs on guards. It was really that. And that's one of the reasons they struggled defensively. In the second half, they didn't get out and run, and you made Iowa score in the half court. A lot of one-on-ones, a lot of isolations, fewer back cuts given up. All those things contribute to that adjustment there.
Good, good. Well, and it was, like I said, it's been pretty amazing to watch Coleman Hawkins just turn it on. Ked, I know that Andre Curbelo, in the words of one of our subscribers, is the human roller coaster. And he puts you on the full gamut of emotions up and down and around. The guy had a few turnovers that were a little bit crazy. But at the same time, he put up the points that they so desperately needed. What did you think of his performance tonight?
Geez, I wish I didn't have to go first, because that's what Matt and I were arguing about at half court. It's so hard, and we all say the same thing. We've heard it before. You know, he can make you fall in love with him and want to marry him and being married for 50 years, and then the next play he wants a divorce and wish you never met him before.
I've never tried to marry him. I just want to go on record.
He makes it tough. I mean, just because that shot that he made, and some of it, I guess I got frustrated because Matt's right. He's a better defender, and people need to understand. I mean, Underwood was upset with Plummer because he doesn't rebound. He doesn't get in there and mix it up all the time, and they needed that. Curbelo was giving that to them tonight. But he's such a hard kid to figure out because you don't know what you're going to get all the time. And he's confident. He's just a confident kid. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with being that way, you guys, you know, because you need that alpha dog. And even though he doesn't make all the shots, he's not afraid to take it. And some guys are. So I can't fault the guy for that. But I just wish there was one time it was 2 minutes to go on the clock. And I'm thinking to myself as a coach, run some clock here. And every time he got the ball, I kind of cringed and I probably kicked Matt 5,000 times because I thought he was looking for the home run play. Just run clock, and Brad Underwood yelled and pointed at the clock. Run some clock. I mean, and he's looking to make that play that's going to give them a 10-point lead, and then they walk off in the sunset. He still needs to learn that part of it, I guess. And once he learns that, the game will probably be easier to him. Going between his legs when it's at crunch time and you've been struggling, those are times when you don't do that.
Yeah, I think a lot of him, he reminds me a little bit of those boxers who had, like Julian Jackson back in the 80s, had ungodly punching power. But when he would go for the knockout, he also left himself vulnerable to be knocked out. And I think once Curbelo figures out that you can't leave yourself wide open, he'll be much better off. Matt, now you were arguing with Ked, so where were your feelings on this?
The only argument Ked's referring to is that Curbelo is just so unbelievably much better defender than Alfonso Plummer that at that point, yeah, when you have to get stops, like, that's the lineup that has to be out there, and I get it. To Ked's point, and if I can back him up, this is an example in which Illinois is very, very lucky that Matthew Stevens is not their head coach, because Andre Curbelo would drive me out of my mind. Like, I am convinced that this is one of those games where it even is even more frustrating for me, because we had gone, I don't know what, a month where he had been so under control and so like, okay, we've turned a corner where, like, I don't have to take all the bad with all the good now. He can get rid of some of that bad. And I still think that it's a bull crap statement to make. Well, you have to take the good with the bad with Andre Curbelo. No, he can actually improve on some of the bad. But some of the good that goes unnoticed, and Sturdy mentioned it as well, is that he is a better defender than people give him credit for, especially on the ball. And I'll give you an example, and Ked and I pointed it out to Ked, was there is a point in this game where, again, Alfonso Plummer is screaming at Brad Underwood, why are you taking me out? And he has no idea why. And the reason is, and Brad Underwood screamed it back at him, you need to stop being so soft on the ball. And if there's one thing that Andre Curbelo is not on defense, it's soft when he's guarding the ball. You can get him into some weird stuff off the ball if you run him off screens, and I think that that's what a lot of teams kind of do. And that'll improve over time. But his ability to guard the basketball when he doesn't foul is really, really high. I mean, that's a high level of player there, especially on that end of the floor. And that's why, Alphonso Plummer, you are being taken out. So I was okay with Curbelo being out there defensively. Offensively, he drove me nuts all damn day long. And I can't stress this enough. He shot shots that Iowa wanted him to take. And then he would throw it three rows in the stands. I am convinced. But because, like the head coach of the University of Illinois men's basketball program, I tend to value the defensive end of the floor and his ability to, you know, break a pseudo press that Iowa types to run. He needed to be out there. So I was cool with it. But I understand exactly what Ked's talking about because it's drove me nuts all year.
Brad, do you have any thoughts on the Curbelo? Because I know you're up close and personal there as well. Anything else?
Well, one thing I think everybody, and this goes to the entire Illini fan base, they are all way, way, way too critical of Andre Curbelo. He makes mistakes. He does. And every player out there makes mistakes. That's what they do. You know, the thing is, think about how many fantastic plays he makes, though, along with that. And, yes, he can – Matt's right. He can be better than he is. He can make better decisions. But you don't win that game without Andre Curbelo, despite the fact that people sometimes just seem to not like him at all. And I don't understand. I mean, I get, you know, he's had some bad moments and things like that. Every player does. But it's like – we kind of moved on from Demonte Williams, and then we got to go on Andre Curbelo, and we'll, you know, is Kofi the last three games? Didn't like him because he didn't rebound. They're human. They're gonna make mistakes. It is what it is. Give me guys that are playmakers, and Andre Curbelo is a playmaker on both ends of the floor. Whether it's a steal, whether it's you know, getting out in transition, making a pass, and yeah, he forces some passes that maybe aren't there, and that, but he also sees things that nobody else on this team or perhaps any other team they play can see, and creates opportunities for guys. And so that's why I think it's time to just, you know, kind of, it's just, and I agree with Matt, you can't take the good with the bad. There needs to be more good, but you also need to sometimes you just got to let him grow and learn. He hasn't been the alpha in a Big Ten game very often, and now he's trying to learn that role.
Yeah, and the other thing, Mike, is,
Mike, if you don't mind, I'd like to make a comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have to give him some credit too, because I tell you what, when he walks to the free throw line, I don't know if you guys remember. I mean, I feel more comfortable with him walking to the free throw line than anybody on the team other than Trent and probably Alphonso Plummer. Kid's a good free throw shooter, and he's a hell of a rebounder, a much better rebounder than people give him credit for. I think last year, one of the reasons Illinois was successful was because Iowa and Andre Curbelo both were good rebounders. So I get that part of it, and I really do. And I think tonight, Brad and I looked at each other. He had a great pass to Kofi. Brad, I don't know who got the turnover. And Matt, I think Matt made the comment to Brad, you got to catch that. Hey, Kofi right in the hands, and I'm sure Curbelo got the turnover. That's not his fault. And the fans will look at that and say, oh, my gosh, you shouldn't have done that. If Kofi catches that, that's a left-handed dunk. Yep. Sorry to cut you off.
No, and I think that I was going to say, the one thing that Curbelo does is he gets to the free throw line, because he does get to the – he can get to the basket on his own. Almost nobody else on the Illini can do that. So he provides a little bit of extra oomph. So as we kind of wrap this show up, I wanted to tell people, you know, if you ever want to join the Illini guys, probably Monday is the day to do it. We're having a subscriber-only Zoom call. And trust me, it's where some of the insiders from around Central Illinois try to get their information that they posit as being inside information, because they get it from the two guys who get more inside information than anybody, which is Brad and Ked. Well, that's tomorrow night at 8:00. So maybe join the Illini guys by noon and you'll be able to get in on it. Got to be a subscriber, though. So I just wanted to put that plug out there. As we kind of do a little bit of wrap up here, I'm going to go around the horn and give each of you a chance to do some last minute thoughts on anything that kind of comes to mind that we didn't go through. Matt, we'll let you start first, and then we'll go to Ked, and we'll end up with Brad.
This might be completely irrelevant, but I don't think it is. This floor is covered in confetti, and I don't know if you guys are able to pick up this gnat sound right now, but the ball that's bouncing and going through the net, that's Brandon Pobczynski in full uniform right now getting shots up at State Farm Center with a floor that's completely got confetti on it, and there's nobody in the building. And it has nothing to do with the game that was just played, but that kid and the ability and the work that he's putting in is going to make a difference. I'm promising you, like, that is the epitome of what Brad Underwood's looking for when he talks about kids putting the work in and doing the extra effort and stuff. He's probably put up about 50 to 75 shots since I've been doing this podcast sitting on this floor.
Well, man, anyway, I want to interject one thing, yeah. Matt. You are somebody. So,
yeah, well, yeah. Again, I said it in the beginning, I'll end it with this, is that, again, there are undergraduate students who are on this floor tonight, and they will remember this night for the rest of their lives, because this is the night that they went to State Farm Center and were a student at Illinois when they won a Big Ten title. And this is generational. This is, you know, when it's been 17 years, it's generational that people haven't seen this in a while, and haven't seen this here in a while. So this program has a right to celebrate this for a good long period of time, because this moment and this accomplishment is something that has to be treasured, because again, it's over a 20 game season, and it just shows long-term consistency throughout a season. I think that there is so much growth in this program. We talked about it with Coleman Hawkins. I think we should have talked about it a little bit with guys like Luke Goody and RJ Melendez, who came in and provided solid minutes today because Jacob Granderson's left arm is in a sling. I feel like Kofi Coburn started out 1 of 5, and you're kind of shaking your head and you're going, oh God, here we go. Like, Illinois is just going to drop this game. And this is just going to be a big, you know, thud at the end of this year. And the fact that they were able to rally and beat a top 25 team at home and finish as a co-Big Ten champ and go into the Big Ten tournament with the number one seed and, you know, be a favorite to win that sucker too, I think that's something that Brad Underwood is really, really kind of, you know, thinks is just the cat's meow of this program right now. And so I would say that that's exactly where everybody wanted this program to be. And it's exactly where I'm still staring at and watching him watch Brandon Pobczynski put up shots. But Josh Whitman wanted this program right now when he made the coaching move and went out on the plane and came back with Brad Underwood. And I think today was a symbol of why that happened.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to switch over to you, Brad, and make sure that your Illini guys' Iridium satellite phone doesn't go out on you.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 17 years since Illinois won a Big Ten regular season title. It's pretty obviously very exciting for Illini Nation. It's you know, a huge accomplishment. I would say the only thing I want to say, I thought it was a fantastic win against Iowa. Is playing great basketball lately. They've won 8 of 9. This is a big win, whether it was for the Big Ten title or not. The Big Ten title was kind of like the cherry on top. And the other thing I'll add is thank you to Fred Hoiberg and the Nebraska ball squad for their huge win at Wisconsin. That made this night a lot more exciting for the Illini fans. So I got to say this one time, go Huskers.
Well, I didn't think I'd ever hear that from you, Brad, but that's good to hear.
You heard it once, never again.
At least not until the next time we meet him. I'm going to be very transactional with my Husker fandom. Kedrick, take us home here.
Well, I'm going to say, you know, I want to thank Nebraska as well, since Purdue couldn't finish the job the other day. So we gave them a chance to have some love in our heart. They blew us, so we became Nebraska fans today. I'm going to make this really short. I just really want the fans, you deserve this today. You really deserve it. Don't let any other fan base out there on social media make you feel bad, throw co-champs in your face, talk about Kofi and Elaine and all this. Damn it, enjoy it, because I'm going to tell you what, that was special today. It's been a long time. You have stayed loyal to the program. When the team could barely spell basketball. You still came to the games. You still was supportive on Twitter. You know, you did everything right. This was about the players, the fans, the coaches. And I'm really glad that Josh Whitman is involved as the athletic director. I know we're talking basketball. I'm a huge believer. You guys know when Lovie Smith was fired, I was pumping Brett Bielema from the day one. I think he's going to make a difference. Illinois is in a very, very good place right now. Enjoy it. Don't be worrying about all those other things. What if this could have happened, if you would have beat Rutgers and beat Maryland, damn it, you got a Big Ten title and you got a trophy. And this year, we don't have to hear anybody from Michigan say a darn word because they're still 0-5. Kid is out.
All right, man. Well, the other thing, folks, when you're on IlliniGuys.com, remember that when you see pictures live at games and stuff like that, that is Joe Clark. He is our Illini Guy photographer, does an amazing job. So when you see some of those, when you're going through our website, or you see some of those colorful pictures, you know, on the cover page, odds are Joe took that if it was a basketball game that was at State Farm Center. So a big thanks goes out to him because we get some amazing shots and it's all because of his hard work. I'm going to wrap it up then. And again, tell people, do a little bit of business here real quick. IlliniGuys.com. You can subscribe. You get 7-day trial. Please go ahead and do that right away because on Monday night, March 7th, 8:00, we do a subscriber only call and you need to be subscribed early enough to get access into the system. I'd do it by noon. Or by 3:00 at the latest, if I were you. Second thing is you won't be charged for a week. I'm telling you, if you have our services for a week, you'll keep them for a year. It's only $99. Second thing, we have other podcasts out there. Keds Recruiting Roundup has more about recruits from the Chicago area, the Illinois Midwest area, recruits going to Illinois, recruits going to other areas. Plus, he talks to their coaches, both AAU and high school, talks to the players and their families. That's a very unique podcast. Look for it. And we have Sturdy for 30, which is Brad's flagship. And he has a ton of fantastic guests on. You really don't want to miss that either, as well as I on the Illini. And the last thing that we'll tell everybody is if you go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio, like, you know, you turn on the radio, hit the radio button. You'll see a list of 25 stations that has the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. If you decide you want to listen to us, turn it on there. It's a once a week, 2-hour sports extravaganza. We have, you'll have the name of the station, city it's in, and what time and day they have us on. Please feel free to tune in because you get the opportunity to listen to the Illini Guys. It's headlined, of course, by Larry Smith, former CNN an NBA TV anchor, along with Brad Sturdy and myself. We'll also have on guests like Kedrick and Matt, but we also have people on, you know, like Josh Whitman, Brad Underwood, Brett Bielema, and a whole list of national guests or former Illini legends. So we would really like to have you tune in and take a listen to what we're talking about. So with that, I'm going to say this is a fantastic win for the Illini. We will have some more podcasts coming out this week, and we are certainly looking forward to that game on Friday morning. Looks like the winner of the Michigan-Indiana game will be coming our way, and it is going to be a barn burner. So Friday morning, 10:30, a little bit early for some of us college basketball watchers. You're not going to get a drive home from work. You're probably going to have to sneak around at work to be able to watch this, but should be a lot of fun. And we will cover that game inside and out. So thank you very much for giving us a little bit of your time. And go Illini.